Welcome to the Visual Storyteller. The Visual Storyteller podcast is dedicated to those who visually document the human experience of families from a documentary photographer's perspective. It also covers the concept of community visual journalism, an experiment as a so-called photo department of a countywide newspaper, which was coined by photojournalist David Hobby. The topics covered will range from documenting families, weddings, birthing, and end-of-life documentary photography, as well as documenting everyday people in our local communities. Other topics I will cover include the philosophy of authentic documentary photography in today's digital world, to gear, case studies, interviewing guests, and more. My name is Cliff Etzel. I'm an award-winning photojournalist living in the Pacific Northwest. I specialize in visual storytelling from a humanitarian perspective. Welcome to episode 2 of The Visual Storyteller. I recently read a quote that's this week's topic. A photograph, to me, needs to show an element of humanity, and I believe I photograph people being people. I recently came across this quote from wedding documentary photographer Kevin Mullins, who's based in the United Kingdom. My passion to document the lives of everyday people have been inspired by the works of William Albert Allard, David Burnett, David Allen Harvey, plus many others. As such, I tend to look at my work through the lens of these well-respected and well-known documentary photographers. Some might consider me a retro grouch in regards to the style of work I want to see in photography today, but I honestly believe that the limitations of that time when I was working as a photojournalist and a documentary photographer, as well as those contemporaries of that time, created a look and feel that is timeless and feels as though it has been lost because of digital technology today. It was pretty straightforward back in the days of shooting film what it meant to be a documentary photographer. With the advent of digital technology, those limitations have all but been eliminated. And as such, a look has saturated the realm of documentary photography in such a way that you end up seeing images so heavily manipulated in post-production that the look of the image has become more important than the content of the image itself. That's not to say that all photographers today are doing that, but digital technology in many ways has created a lazy form of photography, where the photographer has abdicated the role behind the camera and placed it in post-production. That creates a slippery slope, in my opinion. But what does it mean to be on that slippery slope? By removing the documentary photographer's responsibility of accurately capturing those decisive moments with their cameras and placing it within the realm of post-production to create a mood or feeling, instead of documenting it in a way that authentically captures the subject as it unfolds in front of the photographer's lens, creates a mistrust of the accuracy of the image itself. There has to be a compromise with regards to this, I admit. The work that I shoot is done in such a way that when I bring my images into my post-production application, and in this case, Lightroom, I have pre-visualized already the images in camera as black and white. Taking a tip from Kevin Mullins that I referred to earlier, I have set each of my cameras, which happen to be Olympus mirrorless cameras, to shoot and compose in black and white. What that means is that I'm looking at my images as though I am shooting black and white images because of the electronic viewfinder. That also means that when I bring my images into Lightroom and I shoot all of my images in raw format only, I know that no matter what the images look like in color, that once I apply a custom preset that I have that emulates shooting classic analog Tri-X film, that my images will be as close to what I saw in camera as possible. Although documentary photography isn't really meant to practice the skill of pre-visualization, much in the way Ansel Adams did in his fine art black and white landscape photography, by having an approximate representation of what the image looks like as a monochrome image affords me the ability to actually present the image in as authentic a style as possible. When it comes to color, the work of William Albert Allard and David Allen Harvey are my primary influences that I referred to earlier. Both photographers are known for their classic color work shot on Leica rangefinders. That color work was produced on the now discontinued Kodachrome. Bill Allard's work is known by his ability to shoot in extremely low light conditions
on some of the slowest slide film that was available at the time. The painterly quality that he utilized in the film's color characteristics allowed him to know that he was limited by the technology, and so he was forced to see moments as they unfolded before him and take the chance that that image would come out as he thought it would before him. Allard has admitted that there were many images that didn't work because of these limitations, and yet his body of work over 5 decades proves that those so-called limitations actually enabled him to create stunning images. The work of David Allan Harvey is unique due to his bouncing back and forth between black and white and color. His work, although documentary in style, is quite different from the work of Bill Allard. I had the opportunity to meet David Allan Harvey back in 1992 for a short period of time when I was an attendee at the Eddie Adams workshop. His work influenced what I shot in color quite a bit, and it was this melding of Allard and Harvey's work that created my own unique style. In these days of cookie-cutter photography, where one photographer's work looks like 5 others, you begin to realize just how homogenized our profession has become. I was listening to a podcast not too long ago with David Burnett, who is the primary influence for my having become a photojournalist in the first place back in the 1980s. His work since the latter 1960s influenced my black and white work substantially. In the podcast, he was asked a question around his feelings about social media. It was interesting to hear his insights around it, which included such things as the desperation of not being forgotten and the dump trucks backing up, dumping bad to mediocre images online. And the fact that photographers are so desperate for likes, he even mentioned, what is a like worth? It was a telling commentary on the state of our profession today as documentary photographers. One of the things that he touched on that will probably strike a nerve with many of the newer generation of photographers is this self-important attitude of posting their images online. What value does it bring to your work to post bad to mediocre images? That was something that I realized I actually had been doing out of the same feeling of desperation of not wanting to be forgotten. I had to take a hard look at my social media presence, specifically Instagram, which is where I spend the vast majority of my time on social media these days. I realized that if I wanted to attract the kind of clients to my work that I wanted to work with, I needed to show what I was capable of actually doing. So I began to mine my archive, and I realized that if I wanted to market myself as a documentary photographer who specializes in families, birthing, end of life, and weddings, I needed to show what I was capable of doing in authentically documenting the human experience. Today, so many people who call themselves photographers are literally posting bad to mediocre images, in my opinion. I made mention earlier of my attending the Eddie Adams workshop back in 1992. That really was the heyday of publications such as Life Magazine, National Geographic, Newsweek, and many others. Today, those publications are either a former shell of themselves or no longer exist altogether. These were the primary outlets for authentic, quality documentary photography and photojournalism. Now everything is in cyberspace, i.e. online. They have lost their impact, their legitimacy, their power to move, their readership. How does this translate over to working as a documentary photographer shooting weddings, families, birthing, and end of life for clients? I think there needs to be a movement that goes back to the classics of this art form and social commentary as a visual medium. True, there's no going back to the past, but at the same time, there are valuable examples and lessons to be learned from that time. I'm a firm believer in owning tangible examples of quality work. I myself own 4 of William Albert Allard's books and refer constantly to the work of David Allan Harvey and David Burnett. Touching on this, on the topic of printing books, I will be doing a future podcast on what it means to self-publish one's work. With the advent of on-demand publishing by Blurb, MagCloud, and others, the ability to produce bodies of work that can have lasting impact and can be one revenue stream in our line of work, I think is one of the benefits of digital technology today. I think it's important to recognize that with the advent of digital imaging today, the idea that having the latest and greatest equipment does not make you a professional photographer. There are many who are looking for shortcuts to bypass the real-world experience of gaining those necessary skills that goes beyond the technical aspects of being a photographer. The understanding of the humanitarian side of the human experience, the ability to have empathy and compassion for your subjects, and at the same time, use the camera as a filter to be able to both see what is occurring in front of you as you look through the viewfinder, and yet maintain a certain level of detachment is a critical skill that does not come quickly or easily. The ability to know the difference between a bad image, mediocre image, and one that is compelling takes time. And as David Duchemin says, a lot of sketch images. It's through those sketch images that we learn what works and what doesn't. This episode is a brain dump more than anything else, philosophical and somewhat opinionated, and that's okay because the reality is art is subjective, and so is the perspective around what one considers a good image versus a bad or mediocre image. It's learning to detach yourself to a certain extent and not be emotionally attached to a particular image just because you are. I look forward to hearing from my listeners and what you think about what I had to say in this episode. Please feel free to contact me with your questions, concerns, or topics that you want covered in future podcasts.
Until next time, keep your work real, keep it authentic, and heart-centered. This is Cliff Etzel for The Visual Storyteller.